Shalom, this is Eli Rothberger. Welcome to our Daf HaShavua Insights of the Daf series, where we take a little topic that's discussed in this week's shiur of the Daf HaShavua, and we expand upon it, sometimes halachically, sometimes there hagadata. Today we're actually going to be doing a little bit of both. The topic today is an interesting one, even though most of us will probably never see it in our lifetime. And that is, what is the halacha of Birchas Kohanim with a minyan that's kulo Kohanim? When you have a minion completely composed of Kohanim, let's call it the Katz family reunion Shabbos, or Katz family reunion Yontif, as we have in only America. And the daf is going to be Sotada Flabin Chesmed Beis. Now, before we start, why would we be doing something that we're never going to see? So there's two things. First of all, the value in terms of learning Torah. And the other value is that there are going to be one or two yesodos about Birchas Kohanim. One in halacha, one in kashrut, that we can take out from the second of the questions that come up in this topic. Okay, let's bring down the Gemara, and let's get started. The Gemara tells us, Amar Ada, Amar Rabbi Simoi, exactly where we're starting from. Beis Knesset Shekulo Kohanim, if you have a shul completely comprised of Kohanim, Kulan Ol in the Duchan, they all go up and give a bracha. So you can ask the question, the mean of Archim, who do we go ahead and give the bracha to, right? You're giving a bracha to Tenthi Shul, it sounds a little bit silly. So Amar Rav Zeira says, Lachem Shebesados, that no, the bracha is going on the fellow Jews that are in the fields that are not in Shul and can't be in Shul. So the Gemara says, wait a second. We can do such a thing, you can have a bracha and give it to people who aren't in Shul. It's not so. But Tani Abba Bered, Rav Yamnin Barachia. Am Shacharia Kohanim, the people that are behind the Kohanim, Enam Bichlal Bracha, those who are not facing the Kohanim are not included in the Bracha. So how could you tell me the Bracha is going to be Chal on those who are not enshuled by the Sados when we see that people standing behind the Kohanim are not included in the Bracha? So the Gemara says, Lo Kash, there's not a problem. Hod Anisi, Hod Lo Anisi, where do we say that they're not part of the Bracha? So where do we say that they're part of the Bracha in our Gemara? That is when there's a mitigating reason why they're not in shul, a circumstance they can't prevent it. In that case, we could say that the bracha is going to be chal. But in the mid-brice that we just brought down, which happens to be from Seches Rosh Hashanah, that's where we're saying that lo anisi, there was no mitigating circumstance, they just missed it. And if they didn't miss it because of their own negligence or such, so in that case, they're not going to be part of the bracha. What exactly does the word anisi mean? Or what exactly are the mitigating circumstances? So we have two opinions, one brought down by Tosos and one brought by Rashi. I know we usually go Rashi and Tosos, but I'm going to be flipping it just because in terms of the discussion and the shiur that we have, most of the discussion is going to be based on Rashi. And it's going to springboard off Tosos, which is why I'm going to Tosos first. Okay, let's see what we have. Tosos tells us, B'sof B'sechas Rosh Hashanah, Amrina, Dafke, Hanisha, B'sodos, Hanisi. Who were people of mitigating circumstances that those were work? Again, we're talking about Birchas Kohanim primarily during the day. Most people had to go to work. In fact, the Gemara speaks about Megillah, what is exactly a large city. It's a case where we say it's a place where there are Asara Batlonim, there are 10 people who don't go to work. They're Mevatel from Malacha, as opposed to everybody else. Clearly from there, the norm was that a lot of people weren't able to make minyan. So those people who are not in shul because they can't, they have to go to work, they're considered to be onsen. About honey, the kindy, the muscle, lo anisi, but those who are in the city and could not go to shul, so that's not considered to be an onus, and those people are not included in the bracha. Rashi takes it a bit further and says that lo anisi doesn't only affect people who don't go to shul, but it can even affect people in the shul as well. And where do we see this? Let's take a look. Rashi says, Omdim beis kenesis acharei kohanim, those who stand in shul behind the kohanim, lo anisi, they're not considered to be onsim. Elishina bracha chashuva aleim lakar reglayim v'lavolif nekohanim. Rather, just appears that the bracha is not important enough for them to get up and move and stand there facing the kohanim. Lios misvarachim panim keneged panim, to be blessed face to face, kedas, that the way it's supposed to be done. Hilchach enam bichlam bracha, therefore they're not included in the bracha, kedamun, as we say, kosher varachu panim keneged panim. What are we talking about? So we're talking about the seats, let's say, by the wall. Let's say, like, where Rabbi Waxberg sits, where Mitch sits, those areas really against the wall, especially in our shul where you have like the duchen is the I guess the duchen is really what it is. It's the platform in front. You want to call it the dais or whatever you want to call it, the bima. Anyways, that area So that area extends a little bit further. When the Kohanim are duchening, there are going to be people behind them. So Rashi says those people who sit against the wall, they have to move out, or else they're not going to be part of the bracha. Okay, interestingly, a question came up about the Achronim, about a person who davens in shul that is a lot more formal than ours. And you can imagine how formal that is, because some people would say we're much more formal than some of the more hamish shuls in town. And listen to this question. A person davens in shul that has permanent seats, and one person's seat is not going to be facing the Kohanim. Say their seat is set up against the wall. And the issue is, if he leaves his makom during duchening, he'll be going to somebody else's seat, which he can't do. His people are very machpid on other people's seats, to the point where we consider almost a type of a stealing type of thing. So is such a person considered to be nenas or not? Does he have to move for Birchas Kohanim? Or could we basically rely on the fact that he has no other choice? He's got to stay, should stay where he stays. So the Bach actually wants to say that this is also an example of onus. And he's included in the bracha, does not fall under the Gedder of Rashi, because what does Rashi say that a person in a chashuva aleim lakar, that's where he has another place to go and he chooses not to go? But if somebody really has no choice because there's nowhere to sit, so then he's not included in that issue. The Magen Avraham disagrees and says that it gives two other possibilities and says, okay, I understand, there are other permanent seats in the shul, except, and I'll quote his words, and I'll quote his words, and his words are the following. Number one, if you're really so concerned about a seat, you can go to the place where the Kohen was sitting. And I guarantee you the Kohen's not going to be mocked, but how could you sit in my seat while I'm giving you a bracha? If that's really the Kohen's attitude, then he's not really doing it the hava, and the bracha that he's giving is not really so valuable, to be honest with you. Or if you want to do that, you hold a little disrachik, now I'm going to kosa mizrachi, you can move away from the wall a little bit. Olahamid be'emtza basic kinesis, or stand in the middle of the shul. In that case, you're really not going to have much problem. You could have tzadmarav, go to the back wall. So there are issue areas where you couldn't move to. That's why the Magen Avraham says this is not really such a compelling reason. This is not really such a compelling reason as to be called an onus. So somebody who can't move, that, let's say somebody can't move from their seat because they have crutches or their broken leg or something like that, and they're sitting there because that's a problem. So that would be something different. But somebody else would not be such an issue. And this is what, in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says. If you read the words of the Mishnah Berurah, I'll just read it out to you. Those who stand on the west eastern wall, and the Aron Kodesh sticks out a little bit into the shul, that Kohanim omdim lefanav, and the Kohanim stand in front of the Aron, einan bichlal bracha, they're not considered to be part of the bracha. And v'habach heilitz ba'adam. Now the Bach gave a little defense for them. The avshav shekolecha Kohanim makom v'eskeneses. Now that everybody buys a spot in shul and buys a seat, they're considered to be a case of mitigating circumstances. You can't really push somebody out of their seat. This is not enough of a reason. It's not compelling enough. You can find an empty place to stand either to the side of the Kohanim, or stand near the bima. On the opposite side of the shul. So therefore, halacha is brought down in the Seder Mishnah Berurah Paskens that you have to move. Okay, so let's get back to what we said before. We said, so they get up there and do the bracha, and they give the bracha, and everybody is who's able to come, or not able to come, but could have, but wanted to come, who's not onus, is included in the bracha. And we said, onus. Well, in our case, we defined an onus in terms of being somebody who has to work. Even though Rashi said an onus was somebody who can't move, let's go. But even though Rashi says that somebody who's an onus would, or an onus is somebody who can't move out of their seat, but somebody who can move their seat, that would be something where you would have to go in front of the Kohanim. Obviously, that's not going to be the case over here, because if this Yisrael was in shul, so then we wouldn't be having the situation. Okay, fine. So that's what we have. Let's move on to the next part of the Gemara. The Gemara then brings down another contradiction. We said before the Kohanim go ahead, go up and give a bracha. Now the Gemara says, "V'atani Rav Simi mi birta de shikori." Basic message of cooler Kohana Mixas and Ola Mixas and Onan Main. Some go up and some dance remain. So how could you tell me before that everything goes up in Duchens? We have now, Bryce would say, some go up to Duchen and some answer remain. So the Gemara answer is Lokasha. How do you start Beyasara? How do Loi start Beyasara? When do we go ahead and say that everybody goes up to Duchen? That's when you only have 10 Kohanim in Shul. Or let's say you might have 20 Kohanim in Shul, 30 Kohanim in Shul. In a situation like that, so then as long as you have 10 people answering, that would be okay. You can send the 15 Kohanim up, the 20 Kohanim up, and so on, and 10 are back. But if you have, let's say, 15 Kohanim, so 5 go up and 10 stay back. That's what we're talking about. And what's interesting is how the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Halacha. It says the following. It says, basic Knesset Shekula Kohanim is in Simon Kut Chaf Ches If Chaf Hei. Yimein Shem Hela Yud, Kulam Olum Aduchen, Lemil Varachin, Lachem Shebesadus. Umi Ona Achareim Amen, who's going to answer Amen, and Noshim Ve'ataf, their kids or women in Shul. V'yimei Shem Yosir Mi'asara, Hayasir Mi'asara Yalu, V'yavarchu V'asara Onim Achareim Amen. What's interesting is, it doesn't make any distinction in terms of the number. And that would be that, let's say there are 11 Kohanim. I give you examples of 12, 15, 30, and so on. But let's say there are 11. So according to this halacha, is that when one would go up in Duchen, and the other 10 would stay back and answer me. However, the Be'er halacha raises an issue that we paskin, that the Sias Kohanim is only considered a Minat Torah when you have more than one Kohen Duchening. In this case, it seems that you'd be taking away the mitzvah minat Torah. Why, in this case, let's say we have 11, would we not send two up and have nine answer back, or whatever it is, or maybe send them all up? Why should we go ahead and take away the mitzvah deoraisa of Birchas Kohanim? So the Be'er Halacha brings down in the name of the Prima Gadim that the truth is, it's not going to make much of a difference. So why is it not going to make much of a difference? Because he has the following yisod. And that yisod is that Birchas Kohanim is only minat Torah when it's being given to Yisrael. If you're not having a Yisrael in front of you inside the shul, so then you're not in that level of Birchas Kohanim. So are you going to tell me, what do we do in the first place? Okay, so it's a din to Rabbanan. You go ahead, the Kohanim give a din, give a bracha, and it'll be lachayim shebesados. But even if you have 30 Kohanim and 20 are upon the duchen and 10 are sitting back and answering amen, it's not going to be a case where, excuse me, and it's interesting, because let's say this case I spoke about before, you have the Katz family reunion over Yontif, and there's one son-in-law named Levi who married into the family, and Levi happens to be, guess what, yes, he's a Levi. Unlike our shul, where we used to have a guy named Cohen who was a Yisrael, and a guy named Levi who was a Yisrael. Standard, the Katz Cohen reunion, or they're all Kohanim, and the Levi is a Levi, and he's the only one over there. All 20, 30 Kohanim, how many others are, they go up and give the duchening, and this one Yisrael goes ahead and answers the main. And why should it be this way? Why should we do this? And I just keep 10 Kohanim staying back. So the Taz explains that there's a very, very big difference. And what's the difference? And I read you the words of the Taz. So the Taz says, Nira tam dechiluk ben Yisrael afilu echad roi the bracha mitzar atzmo. The difference between Yisraelim and Kohanim is the following. That by Kohanim we leave 10 back to make a minion. By Yisrael, we'll set everybody up and have a bracha one. And the reason again is because even one Yisrael is fit for the bracha. Why? The Lashon Birchas Kohanim Nemar B'Lashon Yachin. Birchas Kohanim was said in singular form. As it says, Yivarechecha Hashem V'yishmerecha 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 Yishmurchem, Aleichem, Yichunachem. Therefore, Kohanim, Enam Bayim Lachal, that the Kohanim are not going to be included in that. Shahanat Shri Lachalkim, Shiesham, Misparachim, and Lachalim. The Ancient Miskalim Aleichem, Elim Kainasar. So, why are we setting the Kohanim up and leaving 10 back? Leaving 10 back because we need something from Lachalim of the Bracha. Here's how it works. If you have Yisrael there, that's the best way to do it because Yisrael is the Kli for the Bracha. With made up that, Kohanim bless even Yechidim. Perfect. If you don't have that, and you have 10 Kohanim back, that's great because really it should be, then the second level is at least the Bracha is Shorah on a minion. If you don't have that, rely on Asha soda. So you see another very important use of it. That is that a bracha is only a bracha when you have somebody to makabel the bracha. So often in life, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us brachas, so Kodesh Baruch Hu leads us there, but we don't always approve it to make it. So often in life, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us brachas. Every day he gives us brachas. It's that we have to be at base kibbutz. We have to be there to go ahead and accept it. And to realize that, see, when you're in shul for Berachos Kohanim, we are there for a very important purpose. We're there to makabel the bracha. The bracha is not shorer unless we accept it. We have all these wonderful gifts that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us, but they're not the same unless we go ahead and accept it by the way. And that's another yisod that we learn out. So let's see, we learn two very important yisodas from this halacha. Number one, the key for Berachos Kohanim d'oraisa is having it forgiven there. If it's just Kohanim, it's only the Rabbanim. Because the idea that the bracha needs to have somebody to makabel. And the way Berachos Kohanim was designed is that the Yisrael should be makabel. But as far as every bracha is concerned, we have to be there to prepare ourselves and to accept it humbly and thankfully every bracha that we get. Because in the last mission, the Shah and Shas, in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, kiss. Lamatzah Kodesh Baruch Hu, Amashim and Chalaf, Lamatzah Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kli Matzik Baruch Hu, Yisrael, El HaShalom. Shalom is the one kli that contains use, that contains bracha. It's the last word of the Berachos Kohanim, and it's the word that we want all the time. Because of Shem, we should be zocha to makabel the shalom. And when we get the shalom, we should take it with a full heart and give thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as of Shem, then we see the bracha of shalom on us, the karo, very, very soon. Kol tov, have a wonderful week.